Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Amen. What does it say? It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we may ask or think, according to the power that works in us. It says, to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we may ask or think. My second scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Matthew 19, 26. Matthew 19, 26. The Bible says in the book of Matthew 19, 26. I understand you finished early last week as well. Don't worry, I've changed. Matthew 19:26. It says, but Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things. It says, with God, what? All things are possible. This morning, I've titled my message, All Things Are Possible. All things are possible. As you know, if you've been coming over the past couple of weeks, this month, we've themed it the month of possibilities. And we spent some time talking about the possibilities that God can do in our life. I understand last week, Minister Sarah spoke about the river of impossibility, and Minister Rotimi spoke about why should we sit here and die, and you know, changing your mindset and things like that. And I just want to sort of continue along the theme of that possibilities this morning, because I think it's very important that, especially as we have called this year a year of supernatural exploits, that each person here has an understanding that what you thought was impossible for you is really possible. You need to understand that by just saying supernatural exploits, it's not just a word. It is a prophetic word. And there are certain things, there are certain levels of understanding you sometimes need to come into, that even when certain things seem impossible, you can see the possibility in the problem. As a background to my message, I did a bit of research, things I already knew, but I thought I'd bring it to your knowledge, and a lot of people would probably know it. And if you permit me, I just want to use that to set the background for this message or for what I'm going to share. Now, you find that in the early 1960s, black people could not vote in some parts of America. If you were to speak to some of the people that were living during that time, they would never have imagined that a black man would become the president of the country 40 years later. In fact, I dare to say 10 years ago, nobody would have thought that a black man would become the president of the United States of America. Against all odds, a certain gentleman called Barack Obama came out and dared to say that I want to be president. And we saw it with our eyes in the year 2008, that he became the president of one of the most powerful countries in the world. I say that he had something called the audacity of hope. He actually wrote a book called Audacity of Hope. He had that audacity and had the audacity to say that I'm a black man and I'm going to rule that. Why did he have that? Because he believed that it is possible. Some years back, some two brothers called the Wright brothers, they dared to think that it is possible to put man in the air. In the year 1903, they built a flying machine which revolutionized the way we all travel today. They imagined the possibility of flying that I thought to be impossible prior to that. In the year 1969, a plaque was unveiled to commemorate a historic event that just happened. This plaque read, here men from the planet Earth first set foot upon the moon, July 1969. We came in peace for all mankind. Listen to me, this was the day the first man set foot on the moon. Some years prior to that, when they were preparing, somebody told President Nixon that you are wasting your time, it can never happen. But he believed that it is possible. And a certain gentleman called Neil Armstrong became the first person to set foot upon the moon. What they thought was not possible years ago became possible. Am I speaking to somebody? Listen to me, just in case you still don't understand. Some years back, for over 30 years or more, to be precise, from the year 1920-something, people had been trying and attempting to climb a mountain called Mount Everest. A lot of them tried and failed. They did not succeed. And about 1943, a certain British gentleman, started climbing, turned back, and said that the mountain, declared that this mountain is unclimbable. In the year 1963, May 1963, a certain gentleman called Edmund Hillary and his companion, they achieved what seemed impossible. They became the first people to get to the top of Mount Everest. And since they did that, many people climb it every year. What seemed to be impossible, what 20 years prior to that, somebody stopped halfway, looked up, and said, this mountain is unclimbable. Somebody conquered that mountain. Listen to me. For about 40 years, 56 years, in fact, the 100-meter record for the sprint, 100-meter sprint record, was only broken by 6 seconds during that period. But during that period, it never fell below the 10-second mark. It was 10.6 seconds or thereabouts in 1912. And up to 1968, 56 years, it was 10 seconds. It became 10 seconds in 1968. But listen to me, in the year 1968, a certain gentleman broke that record that seemed to be impossible. And when he broke that record, what seemed to be impossible became possible. Listen to me, between 1968 and this year, last year, it was broken again last year. Between that period, it has been broken many times. Something that was broken with just 6 seconds for 50-something years, within that period, I think it's 9.69 now. Am I speaking to somebody? What I'm trying to make you understand, in case you haven't gotten it, is that what may seem impossible to you right now, you need to understand that it is just a matter of your perception. What seems to be impossible to you right now is a matter of your viewpoint. The same thing that seems impossible, somebody else will come along and look at it from another perception, from another direction, and say that, hey, this thing is possible. I remember I was watching a film recently, and in the film, a certain lady, she killed her husband, but that's not a, well, not she did not kill her husband. But she planned something anyway. But she was painting. You know all this. I'm not a good storyteller. You can tell. You know, whenever I'm telling my wife a story, I just muddle everything. Or after some time, she just tells me, I'm confused now. What are you? Because I start from the end and go to the beginning and then stop in the middle and then move. But at the end of the day, I tell her everything, but she doesn't understand what I say. So if you don't understand, just. Amen. What was I saying? The woman, she was drawing all these abstract paintings. And the detective came to interview her and was close to the painting. And she said, oh, why don't you look at the painting? And he was looking and said, I can't see anything. And she said, why, you know what? Step back a bit from it. And the gentleman stepped back and said, okay, I still can't get what you're saying. I said, why don't you come where I'm standing and look at it from my viewpoint? Listen to me, there are some things in your life that you need to step back a bit and begin to look at it from another viewpoint, another angle, and begin to see the possibility that seems to be in the problem. Oh my goodness. You see, all the examples I cited earlier, they are things that people thought was impossible at one stage. They were feats that were thought not to be achievable. They were exploits that was thought that mankind can never conquer. Just the same way in your life right now, there are some feats that you think are impossible for you. But all you need to begin to say every time you think that way is that all things are possible. Amen? You know, by now I hope that I've made some points. You see, time will not permit me to give you many more examples of things that have been conquered like that. But all the examples are cited are people that have broken the status quo. And get this. All the examples I cited, those people were not Christians, to my knowledge. Now, when I think about it, and I think to myself, people that were not Christians, and they were able to achieve what seemed to be impossible, I try to imagine us that are Christians with God on our side. If we can understand not just the fact that the viewpoint can change, or we can change our viewpoint, but then begin to see from God's viewpoint and then put it together with the scripture, my goodness, the sky is not the limit. You see, when I think about God, having God on our side and the things that are possible for you, they are, in fact, beyond your imagination. That's why Ephesians 3:20 says that to him who is able to do exceedingly, it says abundantly, above all that we ask or think, which means that he can do more, even much more than we can imagine. Am I speaking to someone? You see, this makes me to understand that God is able to do more than we can. We are only limited by ourselves. You see, every time you think that something cannot happen or you cannot do something, it is your imagination. You have imposed a self-limit on your life. Every time that you look at something and say, I cannot, or it cannot happen, or it's not, or you begin to think, you don't even have to say it. What you've automatically done is you've set a limit. There is a ceiling that you have put on your life. You see, the things God wants to do through us have no limit. The things God wants to do in our lives have no limit. Our imagination and actions are self-imposed limits on us. The Bible says something in Matthew 19:26 that we read earlier. The Bible says that with God or with men, it starts with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Get this. Although Jesus was referring to it, was answering a specific question that was asked by his disciples, because they asked him that, they asked him about how he made a comment that it's difficult for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And then they said, then who can enter? How is it possible? And so it's a specific question. He was answering a specific question. But get this. I personally believe that we can apply it in our life. Listen to me. Whenever you think of a challenge in your life that seems to be impossible, I want you to say to yourself, with God, all things are possible. In fact, you don't want to say it. You want to do what? You want to shout. You want to say, when you face it, you say, with God, all things are possible. Hey, my goodness. When you do not have the finances for the vision God has given you, what do you say? You folks are getting it. When the doctors give you a negative report, what do you say? When your business is losing money, what do you say? When you do an exam and you seem to have failed it, what do you say? You see, when the home office, this happened to me, gives you 28 days to leave the country, and you know God has told you that you are staying in this country, what do you say? Oh my goodness. You're getting it. You see, when we begin to realize that whenever we say or think that something is impossible, we immediately put a limit. When you begin to say, with God, all things are possible, what you're saying is that there's no limit on my life. I'm not restricted. I like what man says. Listen to me. The Bible says, with men, it is impossible. So the man may say it, but the minute you begin to say it, you limit yourself. So when you can say, with God, all things are possible, what you're saying is, I'm not limited. Don't constrain me. There's no way you can put a ceiling upon me, because I know the God I serve. He can do all things. My goodness. We serve a God of possibilities. Listen to me. Let me share something with you. I'm sure they won't mind. They probably will share later on. About 2 weeks ago, a certain member of this church gave birth to a baby boy. Now, get this. When they first went for their scan, the first scan, they did the scan, they said there's nothing there. Before they went for the scan, they did a home pregnancy test. It showed positive. I think about 2 weeks later, I don't remember the intervals. 2 or 3 weeks later, they went for a scan. They said there's nothing there. For about 3 months, if I remember correctly, the doctor said there's nothing. There's no pregnancy. For about 3 months, the doctor said there's no pregnancy. They gave various medical explanations and reasons because the scan was not showing it. But they said that they gave various medical explanations and reasons why maybe the pregnancy test was positive. Various ones. Now, but these people continue to believe God. In fact, the husband said something. He said that one of the scans, or when they went, they asked the doctor, that is there any possibility at all that there is a baby here? At all, just one little one. That's what they said. Sorry? Any chance that there's a baby here? The doctor said no. But they said, with God, all things are possible. Get this. The same baby that could not be found by the scan for about 3 months showed up in real life 2 weeks ago. Hey! With my God, with the God I serve, all things are possible. Listen to me. The same doctors that said that there was no chance of this lady being pregnant delivered the same baby that they said there was no chance of the baby being there. Oh, shekenderebo in daraba. You need to understand something. Because the God we serve, man cannot put a restriction on him. If they had gone along with what the doctor said, they would have missed. The so-called experts were proven wrong by God. Hey, listen to me. The experts only have head knowledge, but they don't understand spiritual knowledge. They don't understand supernatural knowledge. And the God we serve works in the realm of the supernatural. So when the experts tell you something, you need to understand that that is only head knowledge. That is the way they've been trained. But the God we serve cannot be trained. He cannot be restricted by, oh my goodness, hey! He cannot be restricted by head knowledge. You see, when you begin to say with God, all things are possible. What you are saying is, Lord, I'm entering into the realm of the supernatural. I'm beginning to enter and understand the supernatural things that the doctors don't understand. I'm beginning to understand the supernatural things that head knowledge cannot conceive. Oh, goodness. You need to understand. Oh, my goodness. You see, some years back, I was working as an accountant in the public sector. And having worked in the public sector for about 4 years or thereabouts, in those days, I wanted to cross over to the more lucrative private sector then. And it was a generally accepted practice in those days that once you start in the public sector, in that profession, you will not get a job in the private sector, because of the perceived inefficiencies of the public sector. Now, I remember that I spoke to some of my friends, and they said, oh, don't bother, I tried. But I decided not to listen to what they said. So I started applying for jobs. And as I applied, I got one interview, two interviews, three interviews. But listen to me, not only did I cross over to the private sector, I got a job in one of the Fortune 500 companies in the world. What man was telling me was impossible, with the God I serve, became possible. Not only did I get a job in the Fortune 500 company, within the first 6 months or first year of me getting a job, I was given an award for being one of their best consultants. With the God I serve, having no consultancy experience coming into that area, with the God I serve, all things are possible. You see, you need to get something. What is the vision that God has put in your heart? What are your God-given goals for this year? What are the great exploits that you ought to achieve this year? A lot of you can begin to look at those things and be thinking that it's not possible. Some of you, you've been carrying your vision for years that God has given you. And in your mind, you are not saying it, but in your mind, you've settled that this will not happen in my lifetime. You are looking at it like, how can this be possible? But I want you to begin to say something, to begin to understand that with your knowledge, head knowledge, it is impossible. But with the God you serve, all things are possible. Although it may seem impossible from where you are standing or sitting right now, I want you to know that with God, all things. You see, if you don't get anything from this message, all you need to remember is the title. When you are going home, call your son, say, all things are possible. Listen to me. You saw, so recently, we were thinking of moving a child to a private school. And you know, I was thinking, this one that I've gone full time, that it's going to be a challenge. I told my wife, you know what, let's postpone it a bit. You know, I thought that would help me gather some strength. You know, and you know, she reminded me, she said, you know what, but our son, our first son, he went to private school all through. And interestingly enough, then she wasn't working. She went back to school. I was the only one working for some years. That the same God sorted us out then. And I started remembering, I said, hey, that is true. I don't know where the money is going to come from, but I know with God. With the God who I serve. Listen to me, you need to begin to understand. There's no reason why your children should not go to the best schools in this country. There's no reason why you should settle for anything less for your children. Your children should be in grammar school, the best ones. If you don't select listen to me, I'm not just saying this. You need to begin to understand that you don't be restricted by your salary. Your vision will cause the provision to come. When we started this church, I did not know how we were going to get the money for the instruments. I did not know how we would buy the keyboards. I did not know how we were going to get all this. How we were going to pay for the hall. I didn't know. If you ask me today how we did it, I don't know. But I know with God. Hey, Shanda. You see, God will bring, when we started, a certain lady came to join the church. I did not ask her. I did not say anything. She just came to me and said, Pastor, I'm going to be giving the church £1,000 every month. She was probably the one paying the most in the church. I said, thank you. God bless you. Listen to me. I did not know how, why God sent her, but I know that there was the vision attracted the provision. The lady, I was talking about that period. I was talking about we need to get a bus and things. One day she called me. She said, Pastor, I'm coming to your house. She got to my house, put the van in, drove the van to my house. I was thinking, what is this one again? And then he handed me the key. Said, that's the van for the church. I said, hey, with God. Let me move on because of time. You see, you need to begin to see the possibilities in your life. A lot of people, their marriages, they are thinking this marriage, well, we are just managing. You should not manage your marriage. That's not what God has called us to do. Manage what? Oh, I'm just surviving. There's no reason why your marriage should not be the best. Why it should not be a positive reference point for others. With God. You know, the Bible says, I need to move on. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says something. It says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. You know, there are three things in this verse. I just want to speak about from this verse. I want to speak about three things that should move you from the realm of impossibility or can be done to the realm of possibilities or I can do it or it can be done. There are three things that scripture talks about That should make you begin to understand that truly all things are possible. Because although I've said, let us say it, but you need to understand that there are certain things that would help you to be able to say it with conviction. The first thing that scripture talks about is the eye. It says the eye. You see, the things you see with your eyes will determine what you perceive to be possible. Now, the Bible is not referring to the physical eye here. Because if it was referring to the physical eye, it would say the eyes have not seen. But it says, eye has not seen. So it's referring to the spiritual eye, to your spiritual eye. It says, you see, unless you can first see it as being possible, you will continue to think it is impossible. The Bible says in the book of Joshua chapter 6, from verse 1. Let me just show you something in here. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. The Bible says there that now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. It says, none went out and none came in. Notice that. It was securely shut up. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and mighty men of valor. Now, time will not permit me to continue reading. But Jesus said, God said to Joshua, he said, see. Now, a city that was securely shut up, that had not been conquered, God was saying, see, I have given you. You know, prior to that, the Israelites had just crossed the River Jordan. And Jericho was the first obstacle they faced after they crossed over. Jericho, at that point in time, seemed to be an impossible situation. But you see, God was not referring to the physical scene here. He was not saying that see with your physical eyes. When he said see, he wanted Joshua to see it in the spiritual. He wanted him to see it in the spiritual that, hey, in the spiritual, this thing is already yours. Listen to me. It seemed like an impossible situation with the physical eye. But God wanted Joshua to see the possibility with his spiritual eye. He needed to see Jericho conquered before it became manifested. Jericho seemed to be impregnable at that time, unconquerable. But the sea was God's way of saying that, look, until you see it, you cannot have it. So he needed to make him see it so that he can have it and understand that it is possible. Listen to me. You need to begin to see. You need to begin to see. You know, there are times that I just walk around the lake. You know, take a stroll, walk around the lake. And I just begin to speak to God and I say, God, show me. Show me certain things. And God starts showing me. And God begins to speak to me sometimes with things that are natural. The other day, a time will not permit me. I was walking around the lake and the Holy Spirit just said I should stay. So, you know, as I was walking, and I was walking, and I saw a fish and I wanted to walk past. And the Holy Spirit just said, stay. And he started speaking to me concerning the fish. And using it to speak to me and see certain things concerning my life. See! A lot of people cannot see. Because you cannot see in the spiritual, that's why you think it is impossible. But once you begin to see with your spiritual eye, you will begin to realize that the things that you see physically is not how it is in the spiritual. Jericho was impregnable in the physical, but it was not like that. In the spiritual, it was already conquered. The mountains that you face, that seems like you cannot get to the top of it. In the physical, it seems like a large mountain. But in the spiritual, it is a molehill. Oh, shandereble. Let me move on. Time will not permit me. Let me An interesting thing happened some time ago. And although it's not the spiritual, I'll just use it to illustrate. You know, some time ago, I was receiving some golfing lessons, you know, and I was struggling a bit I was practicing putting, and I was struggling a bit to put the balls into the hole. And the coach told me that I needed to picture the ball going into the hole before I hit the ball. He said, picture the ball. He said, wait. Picture the ball going into the hole. Don't hit the ball yet. Look at the ball and picture it going into the hole. And he said, once I'm able to picture it, then just stay, focus on the ball, forget the hole, and hit it. What he was teaching me there was that I need to picture, same thing, see it happening before it becomes real. He told me, as you picture the ball going into the hole, imagine the direction and the distance and speed. He was telling me to see the possibility of that ball in the hole before it happened. Listen to me. What you see determines of your perception of what is possible. Let me repeat that. What you see determines your perception of what is possible. The second thing that scripture talks about, it says the ear. It says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard. You see, the things you hear with your spiritual ear, once again, this is not your physical ears. What you hear with your spiritual ear will determine what you perceive to be possible. Get this. The things you hear can make a difference in your life. You know, that's why sometimes, you know, when people are growing up and that's not the spiritual, but their parents or people start telling them, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that, or you cannot become. They grow up believing. Because that's what they've been hearing. But God was talking about the spiritual ear here. You know, in the book of Judges, chapter 6, verse 12, time will not permit us, but read it in your own time. Read it from verse 1. But let's jump to verse 12. The Bible says something. It says, let me read it from verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Now get this. Gideon at that point was hiding. Gideon at that point was nowhere being a mighty man of valor. Gideon at that point was scared. He was afraid. But the angel came and said, you mighty man of valor. Listen to me. For some of you, you may have done certain things in your life that you are ashamed of. But God is telling you that you are a woman of God. That you are a virtuous woman. You need to begin to hear. You know, he said, you mighty man of valor. At that point, the Israelites were being oppressed by the Midianites. And Gideon was scared. But get this, in verse 14, the Bible says, then the Lord turned to him, that is to Gideon, and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? God, he was hearing something in the spiritual. He had something in the spiritual. Listen to me. Although at this stage, Gideon was still unsure that he could do it after hearing from God. But get this, he made a move. And God used him to subdue these Midianites. You see, at the point that the angel came to Gideon at the first point and said, you mighty man of valor, Gideon must have been thinking you made a mistake. Who, me? Yes, you. Couldn't be. Gideon must have thought that he made a mistake. But then he dared to believe what he heard. And even though he was still scared, he went forward, made a move. Still scared, but fighting. And the truth is, sometimes you hear some things, and it's not that you are not scared. But you are scared, but you go fighting scared. It is real. Hey, when we started this church, as I was packing my family, practically packing my family, or as we were moving down, I was scared. We did not know anybody in this city. We did not know what would happen. We were scared. But we were scared, but we were moving. Based on what we heard. We were scared, but we were moving. Scared, but moving. Based on what we heard. And you see, when you hear, it changes your... Listen to me. If Gideon had not heard the angel, he would never have stood up from that wine press. If Gideon had not heard, he would never have subdued or conquered or defeated the Midianites. If Gideon had not heard, he would never have pulled down the altars that were built by his father. But because he heard, what he heard made him change his perception of what is possible. Now, one of the things that you need to learn to do, if you don't, Simon, we don't have time to do that, that will be another day, is hearing from God. Very key. Because once you can hear from God, and you see, when people come to us and they say they are going out with somebody, one of the things we always ask is, have you heard from God? What is God saying? Listen to me. For singles, if you go into a marriage, if you get married without hearing from God, the challenges that are in marriage alone. It's the truth. There are challenges in marriage. And it is what you heard that will cause you, when the storm comes, to remain. It is what you heard that will help you to overcome the storms. But if you did not hear, that's why sometimes people, after some time, after 5 years of being married, they say, oh, I think I made a mistake marrying this person. I'm not sure this is the person I should have married. But when you hear, even if the person is looking at like the devil, you know that I heard, so this devil will become an angel. Hallelujah. You know, just talking about Gideon. Gideon must have thought that they were in an impossible situation. And he must have thought God could not use him. But he moved forward all the same. Now get this, the same Gideon that was scared, the same Gideon that when he heard, he was asking that, but I'm the weakest in my clan. The same Gideon, in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, was named in the Hall of Fame. The same Gideon, in Hebrews 11:32-33, it says that, oh, and what more shall I say? For the time will not permit me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, all of David, also of David and Samuel, and the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms. This same Gideon that was hiding in the wine press was quoted in the Hall of Fame as somebody that subdued kingdoms based on what? What he heard. Once you hear, the impossibility no longer seems like an impossibility. Let me move on quickly. Time. I'll just give you the summary of this. Number four. So, number three, I beg your pardon. It says, the what? And number four, the heart. It says that, now I've entered into the heart of man. The things that enter into your heart determines what you perceive to be possible. You see, those things that enter into your heart are those things that you believe. Get this. Until you believe something is possible, Until you believe it is possible, it cannot be possible for you. I said, until you believe that it is possible, it cannot be possible. Until you believe that you can do something, you'll find it difficult to do it. I'll close with this. In the book of Hebrews 4, verse 1, the Bible says something. It says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. It says in verse 2, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them. It says, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Verse 3 then says, for we who have believed. It says, we who have believed do enter into that rest that was promised. It means that they that believed and it entered into their hearts are those that entered into that promise of possibility. It says, those that. That's why the Bible says that as a man thinks, so is he. As you think in your heart, so are you. That's why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says, eye has not heard, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. I want us to rise up. You need to understand that there are certain things God has prepared for you. And you need to stop thinking that it is not possible. You want to begin to see it from another perspective, to begin to see it with the eye of possibility, to begin to hear it with the ear of possibility, to begin to believe it with the heart of possibility. This morning, I just want us to spend one or two, a few minutes. Areas that you think are not possible, begin to ask God, Lord, show me, let me see. Lord, let me hear. Lord, let me believe. Help me to believe. Show me, Holy Spirit.